Eloise, I'm an addict. Well, I guess start at the beginning. I come from a very loving family, and I was always treated exactly the same as both of my sisters, and I always felt completely out of the loop, out of the family. I preferred doing everything on my own. I always had my head in a book and lived in a world of fantasy, I guess, from as young as I can remember. And on the odd occasion that I would venture out of that fantasy world, I was really extrovert and I would do mad things to get my parents' attention. And that's just like how I kind of remember my childhood. And when I was 12, I picked up my first drug. And I felt like I'd come home and I could socialise with people. I could be the person that I'd always kind of wanted to be but never quite got there. And it just started a kind of whirlwind teenage years, and it was fun. It was. For the first few years, I had a lot of fun. I partied a lot. I got into a lot of trouble, but I didn't really care. I drove my poor family absolutely mad with worry, and again, I didn't care. I messed up a lot of my exams. I got thrown out of a couple of schools. And then my best friend died, and that's when I first kind of noticed myself taking drugs more to get away from myself and to deaden the pain, and that kind of carried on in that vein for a few more years. I got married and got into, it was a really abusive relationship. And that was a really good excuse to start taking my drug of choice, which was heroin. And I just, it was again, it was that coming home feeling. I felt like I was in this protective bubble from the world, and I didn't have to deal with anything, I didn't have to deal with any feelings, and just life just kind of floated on by. And I soon picked up crack after that, and that's when everything really started spiralling out of control for me. I moved back in with my parents because I couldn't afford rent, and I'd finally ended the relationship I was in. And I quickly started taking basically everything, anything of value from the house and selling it, just so I could get my fix. And I didn't really care, as long as I didn't get sick and I constantly had a pipe. That was all that really mattered to me. I sold all my mother's jewellery. I sold both my sister's laptops. I have to kind of remind myself of like the depths that I went to, and the people that I really hurt, the people that I love most and I know love me most. And bizarrely, they didn't really cotton on to it. And I was slowly losing more and, quite quickly actually, I guess, more and more weight. My hair was falling out. And my dad came to me and he asked me, first he asked me if I was gay, and then he asked me if I was anorexic, and I said yes to both of those things, because anything was better for some reason than telling him that actually I was a junkie. And I somehow managed to get a job in a pub, and that was, I was working in a kitchen there, and I literally couldn't face doing the shift unless I had copious amounts of crack. And I kept like, I'd like finish cooking one meal, run to the loo, run back. And obviously my managers like quickly cottoned on to something being wrong, and they called me in for a meeting. And in the middle of my meeting, An empty methadone bottle and my crack pipe fell out on the floor in front of them. I know, it's funny now, but at the time it was fucking horrible. They actually went and told my parents about it. And they put me on lockdown in my house. But I kind of had them wrapped around my little finger. I was, like, manipulating the hell out of them. And I was getting them to drop me off at drug dealers. I was getting them to give me money. But it was then that I really started to, like... I was just really hating myself. I really felt like I couldn't go on like that anymore. And I got arrested and... Anyway, eventually they got me into a rehab in South Africa and I detoxed. It was shit. And then I kind of went on this big, what's it called, pink cloud, and I felt amazing for a couple of weeks. And then I just didn't get it. I didn't get talking about my feelings or group. I hated it all. I just kind of went into this, like, bubble of myself and got into a relationship, was doing the steps because we had to do the steps. I lied all the way through my step four. My whole first step four was just none of it was true. And then there was, I know, because like going back to like the beginning bit where I was saying I was coming from a really loving family and stuff, I didn't really feel like I justified being an addict, which is just ridiculous, but that's what my head was telling me at the time. And there's this question at the end of the step working guide of step four, and it says something about, have you been honest throughout this? And my sponsor at the time asked me, and I was just like, no, I haven't. I've lied all the way through it. And she made me go back and write the whole of the step four again, and quite shortly after that I got found out with the relationship and got booted out of the rehab that I'd been in. And it was quite a defining moment in my recovery because they just dropped me off at the airport and with like about £5 money, and I was kind of holding my phone waiting for this phone call to come from my parents screaming, and it never came, and I kind of realised, oh no, I'm going to have to tell them that I've been kicked out of rehab, and then that I've let them down again, that I keep letting them down. They've spent all this money sending me over here that they can't afford. I've sold all their stuff, and what am I doing? And more than anything, I just felt like I'd let myself down again, which was just such a recurring theme throughout my life, just letting myself down, letting everyone else around me down. And so I called my parents, and I told them, and they weren't happy. But I checked myself into another rehab, and I started kind of taking my recovery really seriously for the first time. And then I came back to London a few months after that, and it was really scary kind of coming back and having to, like, form new relationships in recovery. But, you know, I got through it. Everyone was so welcoming. And, you know, I got a job pretty quickly, a job which I love. I work in a nursery with children. Like, I always say this little thing because it makes me really proud of myself. But there's this little diabetic boy at my school, and I'm in charge of like giving him his insulin injections and his food plans and things. And a few years ago, people wouldn't trust me in a room with their purse, and now someone trusts me with their son's life. And given they don't know my past, but it still makes me feel good about myself. I love recovery. I love my friends in recovery. It's the first time that in my life that I felt a part of something. I can go to my friends in tears. I can laugh and, like, actually laugh. Not that fake, contrived laughing. It's proper, proper laughter. And that's another joy of recovery to me. I've got a brilliant sponsor who has helped me, is helping me through the steps. And, you know, she listens to all my madness and she gives me good advice, and I love that part of recovery too. And right now what's kind of going on for me is I just got dumped by the guy I was seeing, which I don't really like admitting because it really hurts my pride, but I've got to, because it's kind of, it's given me all those feelings of, it's given me those feelings of inadequacy, which I find so easy to kind of tap into anyway, and it's kind of, it's really hit me hard. But I'm getting through it, where before I would have locked myself in a room with copious amounts of drugs and booze and cried and sung "I Will Survive" at the top of my voice. I have sung a bit of that as well, but I'm doing it with the support of my friends in recovery, and I'm doing it clean, and I'm feeling my feelings, and it's hard, but it's great at the same time, and I think I'll leave it there. Thanks for listening.
Committee announcements, got some literature. Come on, ready? I'm an addict. I'm an addict. I'm the literature person. Please get one.